Yo, what up? Doc Washman Show, we're back on the radio. 101.1, The Answer. I was at the rotunda today of the state capitol, where the acoustics are just pristine. I'm kidding about the acoustics. But there were a number of members of our Arkansas State Legislature who are just as outraged as you and I are. They're just as furious as you and I are that not only did the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives needlessly shoot and kill a man, the executive director of Little Rock Airport, Brian Malachowski, before dawn at his own home, instead of just dropping by the office politely, saying, "Mr. Malachowski, we got some things we need to talk about. We got a search warrant for your home. Look, it's about lunchtime. We'd rather not beat your door down. You want to go out there with us and unlock the front door?" Instead of doing that, instead of maybe, pulling him over to the side of Chenal Parkway on the way to or from work. Nope. Somebody's got to die. Now, how do I come to that conclusion? It's been a month. Tomorrow is a solid month. Not a peep. Not a press conference. Not a press release from the Little Rock ATF office, from the office of the U.S. Attorney for Eastern Arkansas. Not a word. So some members of our legislature spoke out today and said, look, the ATF, come on, guys. You got to release a body cam. We deserve to know what happened. And it is my honor to introduce State Senator Matt Duffield from Russellville, who kind of headed up this effort today. Senator Duffield, thank you for coming on the Doc Washburn Show. How are you this evening, sir?
Doc, I'm doing well, my friend. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. So, first of all, when you first heard about this raid of Brian Malinowski's house out there in Chenal Valley, what did you think?
I'll tell you, Doc, when I first heard of it, I actually had a dinner meeting over here at the local Luna.
Yeah.
With a gentleman here in town, and that was the first thing he told me. He said, "Did you hear about the director of the Clinton National Airport?" And I said, "No." I said, what are you talking about? And he said, "Well, the ATF raided his house early this morning, and he's not doing very well." And I said, "What are you talking about?" So anyway, so that's how it kind of started for me. My dinner meeting turned into a conversation about the ATF. And, Doc, I've not been in the state legislature very long. I'm a freshman representative, represent District 53 up in Russellville.
I apologize for giving you a promotion, calling you senator. Never, you're representative, obviously, for the time being.
That was not meant as a correction to you at all.
Please. No, that's okay. That's okay.
Call me whatever, you know. But anyway, I have a journalism background, and so I've got a degree in broadcast journalism up from Harding, and so I've always done our independent journalism and studied going back, to the situation at Ruby Ridge. And so here I am, less than a year and a half in office, and the ATF comes to the natural state and does whatever it is they did. We know one thing. We have a body. We know that a gentleman is now dead, and I want answers as well as many of the other legislators in Little Rock.
Wow. Okay, so here's the question. Because a few days ago, Attorney General Tim Griffin, I think, was the first elected leader in Arkansas to go on record saying, the ATF really should release the body cam. And now you guys are like, hey, come on. So what can you do? Because they're federal agencies, so obviously you guys are state legislators. You don't have anything to do with their budget, their funding. It's a lot easier for state legislators to get the attention of, say, a state agency, if you hold the purse strings. What can you guys do to try to put some pressure on the ATF?
Well, Well, that's a good question, but let me add to that just a little bit.
Yeah.
In finding out the facts of what happened, and that's what we want. We want the truth. And Doc, what is unclear at this time is just who all was on the scene that morning pre-dawn at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
At this gentleman's home.
Yeah.
We don't know who all was there, but we have some ideas and some things that have come to light and come to our attention that we are highly suspect that not only the ATF was there and that there may have been some local authorities on the scene as well. So, you know, we want to just gather all the facts and find out who was there, who told them to be there, why they were there, why they chose the action that they did. Because, Doc, there were a lot of ways they could have handled this better. And we know the ATF has a very storied history, at least in my personal view, of not handling things the right way. And this is just another situation that's no different. Former Governor Mike Huckabee made a really good point. He said, you know, why didn't they just go pick up the guy at his job at the airport?
I mean,
the airport's a gun-free zone. That would have been just one of a multitude of options that would have been, in my view, much better than this. And I'll say this too, Doc. I want to give my sincerest condolences and thoughts and prayers with his family.
Oh, yeah.
Because we know that his poor wife, who saw her husband, killed.
Gunned down.
You know, so she had, they essentially removed her from the home.
Yep.
And held her in the back of a police car in her nightgown, a blood-stained nightgown with her husband's blood all over it, and would not even allow her the courtesy of using the restroom first thing in the morning.
34 degrees, too. Didn't even let her get a robe. That's ridiculous.
That's what I heard. Yes, sir. That's what I heard as well.
I mean, who do these people think they are? You know, this is an outrage. You know, I talked to Senator Mark Johnson, you know, after the press conference today, and he said it is an outrage. Mike Huckabee is exactly 100% right. Why not just drop by the office? You know? Seriously? So the problem is, the longer the silence, the radio silence from the ATF, the longer the radio silence from the U.S. Attorney's Office of Eastern Arkansas, the more people want to entertain all kinds of conspiracy theories. And it's not the folks' fault. It's the fault of the people who won't say anything. You mentioned Ruby Ridge. Now, for people who are too young to remember, that was Randy Weaver, I believe, up in rural Idaho, and ATF agents were trying to get him to sell them a sawed-off shotgun, and they went through one thing after another because they wanted to arrest the guy, and they wound up shooting his wife dead while she held her 10-month-old baby, shot his 14-year-old son dead, shot his dog, and eventually Randy Weaver is pretty much exonerated. You look at the Waco, that wacko David Koresh there with the religious compound, Branch Davidians. Well, the wacko used to jog up and down lonely two-lane country roads by himself. He used to go into Sam's Club in Waco by himself. If the ATF wanted to arrest him by himself, no gunplay, no bloodshed, they could have done it. But nobody's ever held accountable, so here we are 20-some years later, and it just looks like the same thing all over again, except instead of some militia guy in Idaho, instead of some religious cult leader in Waco, you have a very well-respected, longtime executive director of an airport. And by the way, the board gave him a $25,000 bonus posthumously, which goes to his estate because he's been doing such a great job leading the Little Rock Airport. You take that guy out. I mean, what, you know, you got a broadcast journalism background. I've never been a journalist. I'm just impersonating a talk show host. But what are we to make of this, sir?
Oh, well, let me just, I'll back up and expand a little bit. You know, if people are not familiar with Ruby Ridge, I highly recommend, I mean, YouTube is a world of good documentaries,
and
Ruby Ridge is no different. You may recall, I know it's been a number of years, Doc, but Bo Greitz essentially saved the date, that situation. And you know, I've got to just brag on myself a little bit here because Bo Greitz endorsed me when I ran for state representative. I consider him a friend, and I think he's a true hero. And
good.
He is a wonderful book. So you go back to Ruby Ridge and then the catastrophe that happened in Waco that resulted in the very, very unnecessary deaths of hundreds of children, you know, all due to poor decisions. And so here we are now in Arkansas. The ATF blows into town, and here we are again. And I don't want to say here we are again. We don't know all the facts yet. But as you know, we want to know what happened. We want to know the truth. And, you know, I think you'll agree, Doc, is it not a sad state of affairs that the ATF, that group, has such a horrible reputation based upon the history of their actions?
Yeah.
That everyone's first inclination, and this is not a right or left thing. I mean, this is pretty much across the board. You hear ATF comes to town. Somebody's dead. And everyone's first thought is, well, what's the real story? And I think that's a really sad, sad testament to the history and reputation of ATF.
It is. It is. And then 2 or 3 weeks after the shooting, the Biden administration announces, well, we're going to close this so-called gun show loophole, you know? And you're like, oh, I see. So you don't have to pass a law through the U.S. Congress. You just decide you're going to make a new rule, a new regulation, further curtailing our Second Amendment rights, kind of to put an exclamation mark on the fact that the law, the actual law, is not specific about how many guns you have to sell, how often, how much money to make off of them to be legally required to get a federal firearms license. And, you know, the impression a lot of us get out here is, well, we shot and killed the director of an airport. What do you think we'll do to you if you don't get in line?
Well, you know, I had another thought as well, Doc, and I think it's a sad state of affairs when we have registered sex offenders that were treated better than this gentleman, who essentially was a gun collector. What does that say about the state of society when we have these child molesters that are amongst us, and once their pictures are put online and they're, quote, you know, registered sex offender, and it comes with a disclaimer. Well, you know, don't harass these people. Leave these people alone. I mean, it's ridiculous. And here's this gentleman who, and we don't know all the facts. I mean, Doc, I've known people throughout my life that once I found out some certain these things they were involved in, it blew my mind.
Right.
So we don't know. But what we do know is, at this point, as we saw them, you know, covering up the Ring doorbell camera.
Yep.
If they were there and they were doing, in my view, what was forthright, they would not have covered up that camera to begin with. Here's the thing: we want truth and we want justice and we want things that are right. And in my view, as a newly elected state legislator, it's never hard to do the right thing. And I think that's what most elected officials in the state truly try and do.
You know, and the family very quickly retained the services of attorney Bud Cummins, who was U.S. attorney for Eastern Arkansas for 5 years from 01 to 06. And he said, look, the allegations against Mr. Malinowski will be way down at the bottom of the list. If he's found guilty of this stuff, the federal sentencing guidelines are anywhere from 0 to 6 months in jail. If we had run across somebody like this, We would have put him on maybe probation for 12 months, told him to go and sin no more. He actually quoted the Bible, told him to go and sin no more, and after a year we'd have torn it up and forgotten about it. He said, "This is it's outrageous that they acted like this is some kind of a big deal. Sir, I got a buddy who a few weeks ago said, hey, I know a couple of people who do this all the time. How come they go after the airport director and not all the other people? Because there are a lot of people who do this, and there's got to be more to it." And it's extremely troubling. I mean, are you guys going to, like, write a letter to the Little Rock ATF or the U.S. attorney here for Eastern Arkansas?
Well, we haven't made that decision yet. I mean, it's one step at a time.
Yeah.
We felt today was the first step. You know, former Governor Mike Huckabee. I definitely want to publicly thank him for coming in and opening up the door wide. I thought his comments that he made, my goodness, I mean, A+. I would not have changed a syllable of what he said in regards to this situation. But you know, it's one step at a time. We felt like this press conference was essentially the next step to get the truth and to find out what really happened, because you know his family deserves to know, his friends deserve to know, his coworkers, and the state of Arkansas. You know, we want to send a message. Hey, look, if you want to come to our state and you want to start bashing people's door down and you know, these no-knock search warrants, and you want to do it at 6 a.m. and not even give the courtesy, give the courtesy to the guy to throw on a pair of pants, we're not going to stand for that here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Matt Duffield, we appreciate you coming to the Doc Washburn Show. We appreciate you standing up and trying to speak truth to power, in this case, the federal government. Today, appreciate Senator Mark Johnson, everybody else who was there, supporting you guys. I know you spoke, Senator Johnson spoke. Appreciate Governor Huckabee, Mike Huckabee, standing up and speaking very forcefully. Appreciate Attorney General Tim Griffin. Maybe part of the next move would be to draft a letter or speak informally, at least, to our two U.S. senators, John Bozeman and Tom Cotton, and our four U.S. representatives, French Hill, Rick Crawford, Bruce Westerman, and Steve Womack, because, Senator Cotton, of course, is on the Judiciary Committee, and the ATF is under the Department of Justice. But, I think it's what you guys did today and what former Governor Mike Huckabee did, and what Attorney General Tim Griffin did, that's a start, and I hope that we can move this forward and get some answers, because this thing stinks to high heaven.
Absolutely. You know, it's for certain we're not going to get the truth if we don't keep talking about it and we don't ask. If we don't take action, you know, there's not going to be a reaction. And so I just, I appreciate the time, Doc. I appreciate all that you do, and I appreciate you having me on. If anybody has any information in regards to this situation, don't hesitate to reach out to me. I'm on every social media platform, and if you have an issue finding those, just go to mattduffield.com. And, if anybody happened to see anything that perhaps they'd like to share, don't hesitate to reach out or for any other concerns that you may have. But, again, it's a pleasure to work for the taxpayers of Arkansas. It's a job I take seriously, and I plan on continuing to do that as long as the taxpayers want me to.
Matt Duffield, state representative from Russellville, it's an honor to have you on the program. It's an honor to be talking to one of the people who's actually trying to bring some accountability, because we can't just have law enforcement just going shooting people and then not even explaining why they did what they did. It's an outrage, but we appreciate you, sir, being one of those who is standing up for our rights, and God bless you, and we hope to speak with you again soon.
Thank you, Doc. I really appreciate you having me on. I hope you have a good rest of your night and a good weekend. Thank you, sir.
God bless you, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
So I have been remiss in my duty. I didn't mention at the start of the show that if you would like to sound off and talk back, if you want to get into the conversation, we actually have a call-in number, 501-823-0965. 501-823-0965. Now, one of the things that is intriguing me is how has local media covered today's press conference? Well, I went to the ArkansasOnline.com, you know, the website for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. They got nothing. I mean, is it true that newspapers still think in terms of deadlines as opposed to going ahead and getting the news online? Is that a thing? Because, you know, last I checked, this is the 21st century and people want info right now. There were a lot of cameras out there, a lot of video cameras out there today at the press conference. And I'm going to be checking the local TV stations and seeing, did these people cover the story? I'm trying to do a search on THV11.com right now for Malinowski. And it says, before you leave, check this out. I'm like, I'm not trying to leave, bro. I'm trying to do a search. I guess maybe they don't have the most user-friendly website. Either that or I'm dealing with an ancient prehistoric laptop, or maybe both. So we'll see. Because I get frustrated sometimes with the way that local media covers or doesn't cover. Oh, Arkansas legislators to gather demand answers from ATF. Okay, so that would be before. Okay, now wait a minute. Legislators demanding answers on ATF, 11 hours ago. That would also be before. I mean, maybe THV 11 is also on newspaper time. I don't know, man. You would think, yeah, 7:15 this morning. You would think, okay, that's enough of that. You would think that one of the TV stations would go ahead and have an update. Now, I don't know if you were listening last night, but I had the story about the death threat against Senator Tom Cotton. Except that nobody wanted to talk about the death threat. They just wanted to talk about what the person threatening Tom Cotton was responding to, which is Tom Cotton saying, look, if pro-Hamas demonstrators are blocking traffic, which they have been doing in these big blue cities like New York City, like Chicago, L.A., San Francisco, if they're blocking traffic, motorists should take matters in their own hand, in their own hands, and get them out of the way. And so a guy, a very famous video blog guy with over 1 million followers on Twitter, he put out a death threat. And so we took a look at how the Demcast handled it. They didn't know anything about the death threat. The article says something like, Senator Cotton continues to stand by what he said. Oh, okay. So the story was, the way it was constructed was that to imply that there must be something wrong with a comment that Senator Cotton made on social media. Not that there's something wrong with pro-Hamas demonstrators blocking traffic on bridges and stuff like that. Okay, KRK does not have an update on the Malinowski shooting story. Last thing they have is a week ago. So THV 11, the last thing they had was 7:15 this morning. Well, the legislators are going to meet. So we're down to KATV. No. I know what you're thinking. No. Fox 16 is co-owned with KARK. So if one doesn't have it, the other doesn't have it. Well, no. I mean, yeah, they have different news anchors, but they share reporters, right? Because they're sister stations. Not that there's anything wrong with that. So if KRK.com doesn't have it, then Fox16.com is also not going to have it. So we're holding out hope. Maybe Channel 7. Maybe KATV will have an update. No. Their most recent thing is also 11 days ago. You know, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, does it make a sound? Now, I'm going to, okay, I'll check the Arkansas Times, but good grief. I mean, you don't really think they'll have it, do you? They might. Of course, I would expect the Arkansas Times to come down on the side of the feds. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Now, I hope they shock me, but I would think that they wouldn't have a problem with this. Okay. ArcTimes.com. You click on news, and you see if they have anything. Is there going to be a total media blackout on the Malinowski hearing today? Whoa! Knock me over with a leaf. I stand corrected. The Arkansas Times actually has a story, Dateline, 3:06 this afternoon, on the press conference. I am flabbergasted. Wow. The Dem Gas doesn't have anything yet. Channel 4 and 16 don't have anything yet. Channel 11 doesn't have anything yet. Channel 7 doesn't have anything yet. But the Arkansas Times, the libs, actually have something. I'm sorry. I'm feeling sort of woozy at this point. I'm becoming disoriented. Hey, Steve, did the tectonic plates just shift around under us? Do you know anything about that? No, okay. I'm just feeling a little out of kilter here. The Arkansas Times has something on the press conference. Nobody else. Well, in that case, we're going to tell you exactly what they said here in just a moment, because this was not on my bingo card today. This is not what I expected. Also, before the end of the show today, I want to tell you, give some details, what's going on with this Fisher versus USA case that is in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, which could wind up overturning a bunch of the January 6, 2021 cases in which the book has been thrown at people. There are a couple of guys that got 22 years each who weren't even at the Capitol that day. You know what I'm saying? So this is crazy. The Arkansas Times, of all places, and look, I give credit where it's due, okay? Of all the print and the electronic media in Little Rock, all six, the four TV news operations, we should say three and a half, and the two actual newspapers, the Arkansas Times, which doesn't even do a daily paper, already has a big article on it, and we'll tell you exactly what they said coming up here in just a few. As the Doc Washman Show continues, look, I got to tell you something. There's an old country song by a guy named Tracy Lawrence called "You Find Out Who Your Friends Are." When I was fired by Cumulus Media, the parent company of the other talk station in town, October 2021, because I wouldn't go along with their COVID vaccine mandate, I sure found out who my friends are. A buddy of mine contacted me and told me that Mitch Ward over at Red River Auto had asked him if it would be all right if he gave Mitch my cell number. I said, sure. Next thing I knew, I was meeting with Mitch Ward, the owner of the Red River dealerships in Cabot, Malvern, Heber Springs, Wynn. He's got them all over the place. Mitch told me that not only did he want to advertise on my podcast, DocWashburn.com, but when he found out Cumulus had fired me for refusing to get the clot shot, he pulled all of his advertising off all their music stations. Wow. That got my attention. So when I was rear-ended a couple of months later on Colonel Glenn Road by a guy who didn't even tap his brakes, got my car totaled, where do you think I went to get my next car? That was easy. Red River. Check them out, redriverauto.com. Better yet, just go see them at their lot in Cabot. Tell them Doc Washman sent you. Some of the nicest, friendliest, most honest people I've ever met at a dealership. I go there to get all my service, everything. Tell Mitch Ward I said howdy, redriverauto.com. Now, a few months ago, my wife and I found out that our daughter, Holly, had lost so much weight that she was down to just 94 pounds. She got nauseous no matter what she tried to eat. She had to quit work because she got dizzy just trying to stand up. Her doctor had told her, Holly, you got a hiatal hernia. Nothing we can do about it. Just go on home. So I told my wife if we didn't try to help her, she's going to die. You can only lose so much weight. So we took our daughter to see our friend, Dr. J.R. Crabtree, at the Arkansas Cervical Center. And he did help her. And she stopped getting nauseous. And she started being able to eat whatever she wanted to, started gaining weight. She's back at work. Now, what Dr. Crabtree does is the best-kept secret in American healthcare. Let me explain to you. Your skull weighs somewhere between 8 and 15 pounds. It rests on the top bone of your spinal column, the atlas, which only weighs 2 ounces. So it's really easy for that atlas bone, that C1, to get out of alignment. And if it does get out of alignment, your whole spinal column could get kinked up like a chain. When that happens, your central nervous system can't send out the signals to different parts of your body as God designed it to do. Now, Dr. Crabtree takes x-rays of your head and neck to find out if your atlas is out of alignment. If it is, he gets it back in line, and he saved our daughter's life. To find out more, go to the website, turnmypoweron.com. Last but certainly not least, I'm proud to have Colonel Conrad Reynolds and AVII as a sponsor of the Doc Washman Show. AVII is the America Voter Integrity Initiative. In Arkansas, we have a real problem with the way we vote. The touchscreen voting computers cannot be trusted. The cybersecurity experts and voting experts that Congress calls on all agree that we need hand-marked paper ballots that are filled out in person at your local precinct. The experts also agree that electronic tabulators cannot be blindly trusted to be accurate when counting our votes. They all agree that there must be a hand count audit of all races before an election is certified. Why have the citizens of Arkansas never been asked if they wanted to use voting computers? Did you know that a recent Rasmussen poll showed that nearly 60% of all Arkansans want hand-marked paper ballots? To find out more about what you can do, visit avii.org. Colonel Conrad Reynolds and AVII are working hard to restore trust, transparency, accountability, and accuracy to Arkansas elections. Remember to visit AV as in Victor, AVII.org. Yo, what up? It's the Doc Washer Show, 101.1 The Answer. I'm flabbergasted. I want to give credit where it's due. And mark your calendar, because how often does Doc Washburn give any kind of credit whatsoever to the steadily left-wing Arkansas Times? And yet, well, no, I know they do a good job of covering music. That's not what we're talking about. And yet, here we are. Mary Hennigan is the reporter. And I hope that I do not damage her reputation with left-wing folks in the Heights and Hillcrest. But it is what it is. Article entitled, Lawmakers Seeking More Info and Airport Exec. Take two. Article entitled, Lawmakers Seeking More Info on Airport Exec Malinowski's Death Planned Thursday Press Conference. Yeah, but it's updated because this is after. What? I'm filled with chagrin. She actually did it yesterday afternoon. I give up. I admit, all these years, I've just been impersonating a talk show host. I'm not the real thing. I'm sorry. Now, Rush Limbaugh was an actual talk show host, and God bless him. He left this mortal coil and joined the Choir Invisible. Over 3 years ago now. I'm going to have to read the article anyway, right? I was so looking forward to giving them some credit because it looked like they were the one outlet in Little Rock that actually had an update on the story after the press conference. Wrong-o! Wrong-em, boy-o! Okay, well, let's see if this is actual journalism or they slanted it. Some Arkansas lawmakers seem dissatisfied with information coming out about the death of airport executive Brian Malinowski, who died after federal agents shot him with returned fire while they were serving a warrant at his home in West Little Rock on March 19th. Okay, wait. They're dissatisfied with information coming out. There's no information coming out. That's number one. Number two, Bud Cummins, attorney for the family, said we don't know who shot first. Okay. Next. In a quest for more information about how agents with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives served a search warrant at Malinowski's home at 6 a.m., a group of Arkansas legislators have called a press conference at the Capitol on Thursday. The meeting is scheduled upon adjournment of the House and Senate, which will likely be after lunch. Okay, and indeed it was. On April 14th, Attorney General Tim Griffin told reporter Roby Brock that the ATF should release body camera footage from the raid at Malinowski's house on March 19th. Griffin told Brock, "I think there are a lot of questions that have been raised by journalists, by attorneys, by just citizens saying, hey, what's the deal here? Look, this is bizarre that there's just been silence. I understand there's a state investigation going on with it, but there's nothing about this footage that should stop it from being released." Amen, Tim Griffin. And thank you, Roby Brock, for having him on your Sunday morning TV show there. So the press release, again, the Arkansas Times doing a pretty good job here so far. The press release announcing the lawmakers' meeting on Thursday comes from State Representative Matt Duffield, Republican Russellville, who was on my program at the start of the show today. It doesn't mention previously released information from the ATF that Malinowski shot at the federal agents first. See, that's the thing. We were told that the ATF said that on the day of the shooting. The media reported that the ATF said that, but there was no press release. No, look. You can look on the ATF's website. You can look on the website of the U.S. Attorney for Eastern Arkansas. There's no press release saying Malinowski shot first. I think I'm probably going to have some issues with the reporter for the Arkansas Times. But anyway, article continues. The press release reads, and I quote, "ATF agents broke down Brian Malinowski's front door before sunrise on March 19th in a failed attempt to execute a search warrant as he and his wife slept. The noise awakened Mr. Malinowski, who grabbed the weapon and encountered federal agents in a dark hall. Agents shot him in the head, and he died 2 days later." That's true. At least 20 lawmakers are expected to be at the meeting Thursday, including Duffield, Senator Mark Johnson, Republican of Little Rock, and Representative Marcus Richmond, Republican of Harvey, according to the press release. Duffield said, quoting now, "We want the truth. We want the body cam footage. His family deserves to see it. The people of Arkansas deserve to see it. We must learn what happened." Malinowski, okay, wait. According to court documents, all right, here we're back at the Arkansas Times. We're through with the quote from Duffield. According to court documents released 2 days after the raid, Malinowski was flagged by federal agents for selling guns illegally. Arkansas Times says, Malinowski had purchased approximately 150 guns over a couple of years and was selling them at gun shows and by word of mouth, the affidavit alleges. Okay, no. Not a couple of years, almost 3 years. So it would have been a little, just slightly over one gun a week. So a couple of years is not the same thing as almost 3 years. Arkansas Times says during an investigation, Malinowski sold three guns to undercover agents. A handful of guns that went through Malinowski's hands were recovered at crime scenes from California to Canada, though at least three of those crimes were marijuana possessions, according to court documents. Bud Cummins, former U.S. attorney representing Malinowski's family, provided statements following the death. He said, at worst, Brian Malinowski, a gun owner and gun enthusiast, stood accused of making private firearm sales to a person who may not have been legally entitled to purchase the guns. Most recently, on April 7, Cummins released videos of the federal agents arriving in Malinowski's cul-de-sac. Footage from a neighbor's doorbell camera shows at least 10 cars on the street, and the doorbell camera by Malinowski's front door shows armed agents approaching his house before covering the feed. The video and audio Cummins provided ends there, so it's not known how or if the agents announced themselves. So you're not going to quote what the widow said then. Duly noted. Aside from the two short videos from Cummins, no other footage from the raid has been released, and questions about how the raid was handled still haven't been answered. Language on the search warrant does not make clear whether agents knocked and announced themselves or if it was a no-knock warrant. So you're not going to mention what the widow said then, right? Arkansas State Police is investigating the shooting following Malinowski's death. Members of the Airport Commission awarded him a $24,000 bonus. The funds will go to Malinowski's estate. So, that's Mary Hennigan, Little Rock City reporter for the Arkansas Times. And so, interesting. Right below it, it says, Arkansas Times, your voice in the fight. Are you tired of watered-down news and biased reporting? The Arkansas Times has been fighting for truth and justice for 50 years. Now, I'm tired of the watered-down news and biased reporting from the Arkansas Times. No mention of, gee, I wonder why the ATF didn't just drop by the office, like Governor Mike Huckabee said today. I mean, if they didn't want bloodshed, why not drop by gun-free zone of the airport where Malinowski's office was? Well, there's an old saying in the Arkansas media community. Arkansas Times, go to Arkansas Times. Now, I told you earlier that I was going to let you know about this case before the U.S. Supreme Court, the Fisher case. Amy Howe over SCOTUS blog. Justice divided over January 6th participants' call to throw out obstruction charge. Supreme Court on Tuesday was divided over whether charges against a former Pennsylvania police officer who entered the U.S. Capitol during the January 6th, 2021 attacks should stand. Attacks? I mean, the police officers attacked peaceful protesters, so you know where she's coming from. Anyway, Joseph Fisher argued that the law he was charged with violating, which bars obstruction of an official proceeding, was only intended to apply to evidence tampering involving a congressional inquiry or investigation, but it was not clear whether a majority of the justices agreed with him. Some justices expressed concerns that the government's No, I know there were people in the crowd who did violence, but they won't tell us how many of them were feds. Anyway, some justices expressed concerns that the government's interpretation of the law could sweep in too much conduct, while others appeared to agree with the government that the law was intended as a catch-all provision to cover all kinds of conduct. And still others appeared to propose a narrower reading of the statute that would still allow the charge against Fisher to stand. The court's decision in Fisher's case could affect charges against more than 300 other January 6th defendants. It could also affect the proceedings in the case brought by Special Counsel Jack Smith against former President Donald Trump in a federal court in Washington, D.C. I don't know if anybody else is telling you about this, but I just felt like it was my duty to tell you what's going on. Fisher was arrested in 2021, charged with assaulting police officers. Prosecutors say he urged rioters to charge and was part of the mob that pushed the police, but Fisher maintains he was only inside the Capitol for a few minutes and was pushed into the police line by the crowd. Fisher was also charged with violating a federal law enacted as part of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act in the wake of the Enron scandal. The law makes it a crime to, quote, otherwise obstruct, influence, or impede any official proceeding. Oh, kind of like that New York Democrat congressman did when he pulled the fire alarm. Give me a break. I mean, it's ridiculous. Give me a break. All right. You've been listening to episode 3 of the all-new Doc Washburn Show on 101.1 The Answer. Today's show has been produced by Tim Terrible, directed by Mick Messy. This has been a terribly messy production. Portions of today's program will be taken overseas and dropped. If you'd like a transcript of today's show, simply tear the roof off a Rolls-Royce panel truck and send it to Mansour's Computer Solutions, 7th floor of the Ephemeral B. Smoot Building, Whitehall, Arkansas, in care of Sheriff Mansour Sempier X. Now, if you'd like to hear the show again, or you missed part of it and you want to hear the whole thing, the whole show should be up soon at DocWashburn.com. And again, thank you to our first guest on the Doc Washburn Show, State Representative Matt Duffield of Russellville, for bringing some sanity, some sense of decorum to today's proceedings.